What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Another good one for you today as we get ready for Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals between the Golden State Warriors and the Portland Trailblazers. Going to go over starting lineups, matchups, playing time possibilities, and how deep Steve Kerr is going to go on his bench during this series. That's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. The Dubs, your Golden State Warriors, taking on the Portland Trailblazers in Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals. Starts tonight. I'm ecstatic. Can't wait. I am still flying a little high from that Game 6 against Houston. I can't even lie. Just the fact that they are in the Conference Finals right now after what they accomplished against Houston is huge. It is. But you know what? Like I said, we wrap that one up, put a little bow on it, and we're done. Now we're moving on to the Western Conference Finals against a very game, a very down Portland Trailblazers team. And I don't mean down in a bad way. Like, they're ready to go. They're excited, and they're ready to go, ready to fight, as they should be. But a lot of factors are going to go into this series and this game one tonight specifically. Obviously, no KD, no Cousins. After how great game six was against the Rockets, the Warriors still have some of the same problems as before, which is you're down two starters. You're down at least three playable bodies, KD, Cousins, Damian Jones. And I know people roll their eyes at Damian Jones, but that's another seven-footer that they could trot out there. If they could steal 4 or 5 minutes with Damian Jones out there, they'd take it. But the bottom line is he's not back yet either. All three of them could potentially return during the playoffs at some point. KD and Cousins and maybe even Damian Jones could all return during this series. But as of right now, still down three players. And they played 11 out of 12 active players in Game 6 against the Rockets, and that 12th player was Jacob Evans, who, hell, I've even suggested throw him out there. Give him a minute. If he plays good enough in that minute, give him a second minute. If he's good enough in those two, you know, a third minute. But I understand why you don't do it. He's played, I mean, I think a handful of minutes in the NBA this year. But still, especially considering his one NBA skill right now is his defensive ability. You know, defense plays, man. But anyways, let's get to the starting lineups and matchups for this series. The starting lineup is going to be the same as we saw in Game 6, if you ask me, because of the fact that Kevin Durant and DeMarcus Cousins are both out still. So I'm assuming they will go with the 2013 crew of Steph, Klay, Andre, Draymond, and Bogut. Now, this is a different series, so I wouldn't be surprised if Steve Kerr throws a curveball and maybe starts McKinney. Not the greatest idea, if you ask me. But first, what I mean by it being a different series is there was a sense of desperation in the Rocket series. And desperation might be strong, a sense of urgency. You know, well, let's play our cards immediately. Where with Andre, maybe they move him back to the bench for this series and see if they can steal minutes with McKinney. I mean, McKinney's going to get minutes regardless of whether he starts or comes off the bench. But I am going with the idea that Andre will start with Steph, Klay, Andre Iguodala, Draymond, and Bogut. But I'm just not ruling out Steve Kerr doing something different. But that's pretty much his only other option is McKinney. So, again, going with the idea that it's the 2013 crew, 2012 crew, whatever we want to call them. And people might be asking, why not start Kevon Looney? Kevon Looney's been their best big throughout the playoffs, been their best center throughout the playoffs. Why not start Kevon? And the reason is because Steve Kerr has mentioned he's not a guy that you can play 35 minutes a game, whether it's because he can't handle the physicality of playing the center position for 35 minutes or however long, because as good as he is, he's still an undersized center. He's still only about 6'9", probably around 220, 225, something like that. And the Trailblazers have some big guys. I'll give them credit. They've got 3 7-footers they can still trot out there, even with Nurkic being hurt. So that's why I think Bogut will start. You'll get a couple minutes of Bogut in the first and in the third. I don't know. It depends on how well he plays. That's one of the ways Steve Kerr is going to have to handle this moving forward until he gets more healthy bodies back, like KD and Cousins and Damian Jones. Bogut will get the first shot at Enes Kanter. And here's the thing. Kanter is fine. He does some things very well, which is rebound, especially offensive rebounding. And then he's skilled around the basket. Defensively, not great. He's not a ball handler or anything. You know, he's a offensively skilled big man around the hoop. I'll put it that way. So Bogut is going to get his minutes against Kanter. Looney will definitely see some time against Kanter. And Jordan Bell, I don't think will. Draymond probably will as well when they decide to go small, which with Sean Livingston in the spot of Kevin Durant in the Hamptons 5, I saw someone on Twitter, I think. I wish I could give him credit. I forget who it was, but it was the three rings lineup because they're the five guys that have three rings on this team where everyone else either has 1, 2, or 0. So as far as Kanter's concerned, it's mostly Bogut and Looney and Draymond. Klay, obviously, I think is going to start on Dame, and he'll get some time on CJ when Dame's not on the floor because they do stagger them a little bit, but his main assignment will be Dame. And if he does go, Steve Kerr, does go with Andre Iguodala starting, I think, Andre, you will throw Andre on whoever Klay's not on. So CJ in this case. Just because they have two other guys that you can throw Steph on who aren't great. You know, Al-Farouq Aminu and Mo Harkless both kind of hang out on the perimeter. It depends how it gets played. If Steph's on Al-Farouq Aminu and he's beating him on the boards or getting in the post or something like that, same thing with Harkless, maybe you make a move here or there. But for right now, the way I'd see it is Andre starts on CJ. Steph, you put on either Aminu or Mo. I think you would put Steph on Aminu just because neither of them are shooting great from three in the playoffs. Al-Farouq Aminu, 31% from three. He was just above 34% on the season. I think you put Draymond on Maurice Harkless because he's going to hang out on the perimeter. And is he capable of knocking down threes? Sure. And once he starts hitting them, you make an adjustment. But Mo Harkless is shooting 20% from three in the playoffs, 27% from three during the regular season. So what you might do is put Draymond on him and let Draymond kind of roam, do his defensive genius thing that he does, where he just finds the weak spots and finds where to help, etc. But then also that would leave him available to help on the boards against Enes Kanter. These are just my thoughts. It may just get played straight up, where it's Klay on Dame, Steph on CJ, Andre on Harkless, Draymond on Aminu, and Bogut on Kanter. But these are things to look for, because I think there are advantages to be had in these situations. Portland is explosive, but they don't have the defenders that the Warriors have, where obviously the Warriors are explosive as well, but they're not going up against the defenders or the defensive scheme that they saw against the Rockets. One guy who's played well for them off the bench is Zach Collins, and I wouldn't be surprised to see Jordan Bell actually get some run against Zach Collins. Zach Collins is, again, another 7-footer. He's kind of slender, though, similar to Jordan Bell, but Jordan Bell's only about 6'8", 6'9". But Zach Collins, what he does best, he plays with energy, gets up and down the floor. He can knock down a three here or there, but that's not the biggest part of his game. Myers Leonard might get some time, too. That one, I don't need to think of a matchup for that one. You can kind of put whoever on him. As long as they can guard on the perimeter, Myers Leonard likes to shoot the ball. But Zach Collins has played well for the Blazers recently. So I think Jordan Bell's a guy who you might try and match up with him during Zach Collins' minutes. Looney too, obviously, but I think that's where we'll see Jordan Bell get his run, because I do think Steve Kerr played it really tight, really close to the vest against the Rockets, because the Rockets will try and expose any below-average defender you put out there. So he was trying so hard not to put Quinn Cook or Jarebko or Jordan Bell out there. Jordan Bell's a good defender, but he also can have some brain farts, some lapses, and so that's why he wouldn't play them. I think against Portland, he'll be more willing to open up the bench, especially for me personally, it's Quinn and Jordan Bell. Because the thing is, one of the storylines is Steph and Seth, which is great, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But they'll have a moment or two, and it'll be fun. But the real matchup is Seth and Quinn. You know, those are the guys that will be matched up more so than Steph and Seth. So that's something to look out for as well. I think Quinn definitely should get some run in this series, because Dame can carve him up, so could CJ. But you can also match him up with Seth a lot better than you could, you know, whoever the Rockets were rolling out there. Going to take a quick break, come back, go over a few more matchups, look at the Steph and Seth matchup, because there is a little something there, and a couple other things from the Dubs over the last couple of days. This is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's good? Just went over some of the lineups and the matchups that we will see in this series against the Portland Trail Blazers. Look, once DeMarcus Cousins and Kevin Durant come back, everything will go back to quote-unquote normal. Things would have to be pretty desperate for Steve Kerr to, once Kevin Durant comes back, go back to starting the Hamptons five. It would have to be a situational thing where, I don't know, Warriors are down, something like that, and they need a boost, so that's what they do. But I think once they do make their returns, if KD comes back before Cousins, KD will be in the starting lineup, and Bogut will continue to start, and vice versa. Cousins will start as soon as he returns, et cetera. One thing I wanted to mention also about the Warriors with their rotations and Steve Kerr willing to go to the bench, I also think it's a team thing where against the Rockets, he didn't feel comfortable doing it. I think he will feel comfortable against the Blazers to give guys good minutes. And especially, let's say Quinn has a game where he goes 4 or 5 from three. And, you know, that'll allow Steve to extend his minutes. Jordan Bell has a game where he's flying around. That'll allow Steve Kerr to extend his minutes. So I do think we'll see more of the bench than we saw in the Rockets series. And I also think we will, and I think we should, personally, because I did not love the fact that he went so tight on, you know, 5, 6, 7 guys playing in the Rockets series, because at the very least, you could give the guys a chance. Just because you're putting someone in the game doesn't mean you're putting them in the game for 30 minutes, you know? You can see how a guy performs for a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, etc., and have a short leash. So I do think we will see that in this series. Real quick, want to talk about the Seth-Steph storyline. It's awesome. I mean, it really is. I don't want to shoot it down or anything. I think it's incredible that they're both two of the top three-point shooters in the game. I mean, Steph is the best shooter of all time. But the fact that percentage-wise, Seth is one of the best three-point shooters in the game is incredible. Because I don't know if it's just me, and maybe you guys can, you know, I'm sure you will look it up and let me know I'm wrong, but usually pairs of brothers that are in the same professional sport, you know, one is great at one thing, one is maybe not great at another thing, but it's rare that they have the same traits that they're great at, I guess I'll say. Where, you know, you look at the Lopez twins, Robin is not a three-point shooter. He's got a great three-point celebration where he makes some tea and slams it. But Brooke is a great three-point shooter. You know, the Grant brothers, and that's also a size thing where one of them is, you know, like 6'4", and the other 6'9". One of them's a guard and the other's a forward, but I think it's Jeremy Grant in OKC, he's a lot better than Jarian. And it's just rare where brothers have the same skill set. I mean, I guess you could go Gasol's maybe, but Mark Gasol is 10 times the defender that Pau Gasol is. So, I don't know, kind of just a rant on my part, a weird thought that I had, and just kind of how incredible it is that the Currys can shoot like that. It's pretty wild. Not to mention, it's too bad that Damian Lee is not on the active roster because it really could be a family affair if so. I guess it would be Damian Lee, and then you need Austin Rivers there too to have pretty much the entire extended Curry family playing in these Western Conference Finals. But you got two of them playing, one of them inactive, and it's pretty incredible. There was actually an article that came out today about Dell and Sonya and just about how they are dealing with the situation of having, you know, two kids, their two sons in the Western Conference Finals on separate teams. And Steve Kerr chimed in, and he had a pretty great quote, in my opinion. Steve Kerr said, "The Currys are unbelievable. They've been flying all over the place, seeing both kids play in the NBA playoffs, and then seeing them play against each other. They're like the royal family of the NBA. It's incredible. Steph and Seth having all this success as parents, they must be having the time of their lives. Actually, I know they are because I've talked to them about it. What a beautiful scene. I'm sure it will be conflicting for them these next couple weeks. What a great story." So obviously he's referring to Dell and Sonya. And it is pretty crazy. You'll see him at the Rockets game one night, or excuse me, Rockets-Warriors game, and then the next night they're in Denver for Denver-Portland. Klay Thompson even chimed in on it. You know, I have to get you any Klay Thompson quote I can because he's just the best. He said, "Oh, it's awesome. I'm happy for them. I feel like I'm a part of it. Just knowing Seth and Steph for over a decade plus, it's a split household. I don't know who they'll root for, but it's a win-win situation for them." It's pretty incredible. So, it's a great storyline going into it, and I've been saying that. But one of the things is we'll get a moment or two with Steph and Seth being matched up one-on-one. But it's not the exact matchup. It's, you know, like I said, the matchup is more Seth and Quinn Cook than it is Seth and Steph. But the storyline is fantastic, and I think we should all enjoy it going into the series and after the series. I've always tweeted out, you know, I'm irrationally invested in Seth's success. Just hopefully it's not too much success against the Warriors in this Western Conference Finals. Going to take one more break, come back. I have a quick soundbite I want to play for you from Steph talking about the situation and going up against his brother growing up. And then I also want to cover some of the news that happened around the NBA today. That's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's good? Just talking about the Steph and Seth matchup, and Steph was asked about the games in the driveway against Seth and how they used to go and what players they used to emulate and things like that. And I thought it was a pretty good answer. Here's what Steph had to say.
Good question. He always loved Tracy McGrady. That was his favorite player growing up. Mine was Reggie. So it's kind of a little different era, but it's just back and forth, one playing one-on-one, all the normal kind of stereotypical story here. That's all we used to do growing up. Got pretty heated at times, like it does with brothers, and he always accused me of cheating. I didn't give him foul calls and all that type of stuff, so pretty standard relationship in that sense, but it's wild because we haven't really got to play in the summer times as much recently because of injuries and surgeries and different schedules and all that type of stuff. But I know my mom, my parents probably have stories for days around what they used to, you know, watch when me and him were out there playing.
You remember the first time he beat you?
Actually, I don't.
He's never beat you?
He's beat me before. I just don't remember when the first one was. Like, there wasn't like a celebrate like a mark this day on the calendar type of day.
For you or for him?
Maybe he has the answer. Yeah, I probably might have blocked it out of my memory.
Does it happen very often?
He knows how to compete. Like, obviously, when I was growing up, size differential and all that, big brother used to win most of them. But he was nice. He was skilled when we were growing up, so it wasn't easy for sure.
So Steph's Reggie Miller, obviously. Seth loved T-Mac. That's tough when you love a player who's, like, you know, 6 inches taller than you'll end up being. But funny that they got aggressive, that they got a little rough on each other. But that's how it is. I mean, I have an older brother, and, man, we used to go at it. And I'm sure anyone else with a younger or older brother understands how it goes with a sibling like that. One of the things I wanted to get to as far as NBA news is concerned, the Sixers have decided to keep Brett Brown around for another year, which I think is the right call. I think certain things can be overrated. Like, yes, they did lose in the second round. Okay, but they were playing Toronto in the second round. Whereas, let's say, people are giving Portland a lot of credit, and they should, because they did make it to the Western Conference Finals and have a chance to go to the Finals. But what if they drew the card of playing the Warriors in the first round or having to go up against Houston in the second round? You know, whatever the case may have been, and they lose. Would that have been that bad of a mark on them? We play outcomes. We react to outcomes way more than the actual content or context of what happened. You know, so I'm glad they're keeping Brett Brown around. I don't know if he's a bad coach. I don't know how good of a coach he is either. But what's the other option right now? The Lakers are outside YMCA's, you know, asking people for their phone numbers to see if they want to coach. Speaking of which, the Lakers hired Frank Vogel and forced Jason Kidd on his coaching staff as well. Kurt Rambis might be forced on him too. It seems like Vogel was, they called him up, said, hey, would you do 3 years and will you put Jason Kidd on your coaching staff? Okay, cool. You're good. You're our guy. The Lakers are a mess and I'm thoroughly enjoying it. No offense to Frank Vogel. I think he's a solid coach. But is he the coach that's going to get the most out of LeBron and all the young guys on the team? I don't think so. We'll just have to wait and see. Is Jason Kidd the head coach by the end of the year? Probably. Here's my thing. If you want Jason Kidd on the staff so bad, make him the head coach. Like, the Lakers are an absolute mess. I did a show a couple months ago where we were talking about the Lakers, and one of the questions we had was, who are you blaming? And I think I blamed Magic because, you know, he's the one who signed all the bad players and this and that. And my co-host said, no, it's Jeannie Buss. She's the one who hired guys with zero experience and entrusted them to do it. And I understood. I was like, yeah, I get it. But, you know, she didn't pick the players. Magic did. Right now, this is all Jeannie Buss's fault 100%. The last 2 years, however long it's been, has been at the hands of Jeannie Buss. I have no evidence that she is a good owner. Maybe she'll prove me wrong. But right now, that place is a mess. But at the very least, they have their coach, and they're moving forward. So, who cares, though? Warriors are in the playoffs. Lakers suck. Doesn't matter. So check out tonight's game, Warriors Trailblazers. I'll be back with another episode after the game of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.